A few months back, Jeffrey Owens, who used to play Elvin on The Cosby Show, this is him right here a few years ago. You can kind of see the similarity. It's been a few years since the show aired. One of the biggest shows at the time for NBC, all sorts of records broken. It was huge. It was massive. A news outlet a few months ago ran a picture of Jeffrey Owens in a grocery store bagging groceries and ridiculed and mocked him. Ah, look at him. Once on the biggest show in all of television, and now he's bagging groceries. What a loser. And quickly, social media came to his defense, and then a lot of other news outlets wanted to interview him. And Jeffrey Owens said this in one of the interviews, his phenomenal quote. He said, "There is no job that's better than another job. It might pay better, it might have better benefits, look better on a resume or on paper, but actually it's not better. Every job is worthwhile and valuable." Great. And that's a Christian theology of work, that every job, every moral job is valuable, right? Like, so if you're a drug dealer or something, like, that's not a job. That's criminal. That's being a criminal. That's not work. But every job, no matter what you're talking about, has intrinsic value and is valuable because it's work. That's a Christian work ethic. That's a Christian understanding of theology. And Jeffrey Owens got it 100% correct, that no job is better than another. Yes, some might pay better. Yes, some might have better benefits. Yes, some might be easier. Some might be harder. Some might have more drama. And some might have less drama. But they all have value, all have intrinsic value because they're work, and God gives us work. Remember Adam and Eve before they fell in the garden? They were given work to do. Their job was to tend the garden. They had work before sin entered the world. And so work is good, and it has value, and they're all important. In fact, I caught myself yesterday a little bit as we were talking with my children. We were going into town, and my two little kids started getting into the argument about what the best job in the entire world is. Working at Burger King or working at Taco Bell? And I was like, but then I had to catch myself and say, no, you know, this is an intrinsically valuable job to do. I ran into a woman, not from this church, but someone I know through the community, and she happened to be at McDonald's, and I said, oh, I didn't realize you worked here. And she said, oh, yeah, you know, and making excuses. No, that's the total wrong view. Every job has value. And if you have to work at whatever in order to put food on the table, if you have to work in any job, it matters. And in fact, not only does it matter whether you're paid or not, some people volunteer, they spend times, they work through the home or in their community, and those jobs are valuable too. Those jobs have intrinsic value despite the number that's put on the paycheck or if there is a paycheck or not. Work is valuable. The Christian understanding is that work has value. So before we jump into the text today, I'm curious, what are some of the jobs that we all have here represented at the church?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, all right. Pizza Hut. Okay, where else? What, April?
I was going to say I bartended for
17
years.
At where?
I said I bartended for
17
years.
Oh, wow. All right. Counselor.
Machine operator?
What kind of machine? Wow, you are everyone's hero this week. Unless you told them no, and then in which case. What else?
Electrician?
By the way, your IQ drops 20% whenever you're writing on a whiteboard, so you got to give me grace. I think that's right. Yeah.
Popcorn sample.
All right, we'll put student. What else? What else you guys do?
Homemaker?
Yeah. Homemaker.
Teachers.
Lots of you folks who I would never, ever, ever want your jobs. What else?
Banker.
What's that?
Banker.
You already gave us one. Taking all the good answers, banker. What else?
Secretary.
Secretary. I'm going to go up here.
Pastor.
If there ever was a loser job. What else? Yeah?
Sales.
And you just had to get the Home Depot in there too. Like, hey, shop Home Depot. It's HD. Everybody likes HD. No, it's 4K now, so you have to... No. Okay. What else? Anything else? Anyone else want to get... Yep.
News anchor.
And what? What's that? Somebody said park ranger? Park ranger? If I could draw better, I'd draw like logos for all y'all. All right. Gas. I'm just going to write gasman. Lots of jokes in there. Plumber. Oh, come on. Yeah. All right. I'm done. We're done. Lots of important jobs. Okay. That is totally spelled wrong. Lots of important stuff. They all have intrinsic value. They all have worth. They all matter. And it's great that we have a whole gambit of things that we do, for, whether it's Pizza Hut or the Gasman. We have all lots of things that we can do. And it's important. Work is important. It's an intrinsic part of us, whether we get a paycheck for what we do or not. It matters. As Christians, though, we ask, well, wait a minute. Is there purpose involved with this? And is there meaning and value? And is there something that happens when I become a Christian that should shift my job a little bit? What happens as Christians if we ask Jesus to come into our job? What happens if we bring Jesus into our work? What will happen? As we go to the text, we just saw Jesus walk away from a very important job of healing the sick and casting out demons. That's great work. And yet he said, this is not why I came. I left. I came to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Repent and believe. And so he left that behind. This is why I've come. And so we find him doing just that in chapter 5, verse 1. Read along with me. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gerasid. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. So Jesus is teaching. Apparently large crowds are following, pressing in on him. I've never preached to a point where people were so engaged that they were pressing in on me and I was in the back. I don't know how to get out of here. It's never happened to me. But Jesus is the amazing preacher. And so Jesus is preaching. People are pressing in on him. I mean, I can't imagine how hard it is to talk while people are, you know, all around you. I mean, I can kind of imagine with like kids and stuff, like, get away. Everybody stop talking. I'm talking, not you. But they're pressing in on him, and Jesus is, I can't teach like this. So he looks around. There's fishermen over there washing their nets because it's the end of their work day. Fishermen typically during this season would work at night because that's when the fish were on the move. That's when it was best to catch them. And so they're done with their day. They've worked all day. They've worked 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, and they're done. And they're out washing their nets, making sure there's no junk and scuzz in there so that they don't have to mend them later. And Jesus sees their boat a distance away from them and says, ah. So he gets in the boat. The text doesn't say this, but what must have happened is Simon's washing the net, kind of listening to what's happening over here, and goes, oh, you're in my boat. All right. So he comes over and he gets into the boat. Oh, yeah. And Jesus says, okay, put out a little bit. Okay. So he puts out so that Jesus can teach the crowd from the shore. Now, I don't know how far he had to put out because I don't think he put out like 3 inches. And they're like, oh, we can't press in on that because our ankles will get wet. but he put out a little bit and he's teaching them. Now, if I'm Simon, I'm probably a little frustrated. This guy got into my boat, right? I mean, Simon knows who he is. He healed his mother-in-law. But you're in my boat. I've been working all day. And now I have to go and do more work. What about you? Especially you who've worked in corporate America. You go to work, you work your full 8 hours or however long you're there. You get home, you kick off your boots, you finally, you know, settle down, you sit down for the first time, and then your phone rings. And they say, hey, you got to come back. You got to come back into work for a little bit. How are you feeling? I know what you're thinking. You're like, ah, yes. I love my work so much. So happy to go in. Oh, just another opportunity to see all your smiling, beautiful faces, right? No, of course not. Nobody likes getting called back into work. Oh, I just got home. And, you know, I just drove through. I just survived the drive through the snow. Now I got to turn around and go back. So you go back to work. It's frustrating. I remember one time I was working at the welding supply store, and I got called back in. Well, we had done inventory over the course of 2 days, 15-hour days, long, hard work and everything. And then I was not working Saturday morning. Shop's finally back open. I'm asleep. Phone rings. Oh, you need to come back into work. The count was messed up on a number of things, and we need you back here. By the way, it wasn't me who messed up the count. It was not me. It was Eric, just for the record. But I had to go in. Oh, yeah, hooray. I love you guys so much. No, I didn't want to go in. Well, we're going to pay you. I don't care about the money at this point. I'm done with you people. Just done. Nobody likes getting called back into work. But, yeah, Simon, who's later called Peter, so I'll mess up and call him Peter a number of times here. Simon Peter gets called back into work, and okay, you know, we just need you in here for a minute. He puts out into deeper waters. Verse 4, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep waters and let down your nets for a catch. All right, what is... Some of you might know this. What was Jesus' profession? What was his job that his earthly father Joseph taught him?
What?
Carpenter, right? What do carpenters know about fishing? Nothing. Right? It's like asking me to come and do your taxes or something. Yeah, this is not going to end well. Can you imagine Peter, right? Jesus, oh, hey, let's go out. Let's go fishing. Really? Like, he's already been fishing all night. He's already been working all day long, and Jesus says, hey, let's go fishing. This looks like a good time to go fishing. Yeah, I'm a carpenter. I know what I'm talking about. We have fish and carpentry just like you. Well, no, but still, anyways, let's go. Let's go out fishing. If I'm Simon, I'm so frustrated. This is like a middle manager coming to you. He's above you. And it comes to you, you got to do this thing in your job. And you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never done my job. You have no clue about my job. You don't even care about my job. I'm not even sure you know my name if I cover up my name badge. So, and they're like, well, you got to do it. And you have to do it because it's the boss. Boss doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's telling you got to do it, so you got to do it. This would be like me, you know, after the worship service and everything going on. I'm like, yeah, that was beautiful. You know, Chelsea's on the keyboard or Patty's on the keyboard. I'm like, yeah, it was a beautiful job. But you know what? This one time I saw this video of a musician. And I don't know, his name was like Stevie Wonderful or something like that. And he had these cool glasses on because he's cool and they're dark. And he was swaying back and forth. Man, did that make the piano sound even more beautiful when he was doing it. So here's what you're going to do. I want that piano to sound more beautiful. So you're going to wear those dark glasses because he wears them to look cool. That's why he wears them, right? And I want you to sway back and forth because that increases the resonance or something or other in the piano and makes it sound better. So that's what you're going to do from now on. That's what's going to make the piano sound even better. Okay? All right. See you later and walk away. What? You don't know what you're talking about. He wears those glasses because he's blind. And this doesn't make this piano sound any... And his name's Stevie Wonder, for crying out loud. You don't know what you're talking about. But it's the boss, so you kind of have to do it, right? I'm sure that's what Simon's thinking right now. You're a carpenter. You don't know what you're talking about. Put out... Let's go. This is a good time to go fishing. Let's go fishing. You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. You absolutely don't know what you're talking about. Verse 5. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. We have been at work all night, which is our day. We've worked a full day. We're tired. We're done. We've caught nothing. You don't know what you're talking about. So not only is this getting called back into work, hey, we need you to come back in and sign some papers or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, we're in the internet days now, right? Like, can't you just email this over a PDF and I'll sign it at home? No? Oh, I have to come in for that? All right. This isn't just come back in for a few minutes or for an hour. This is, hey, I want you to work a double shift. Yeah, you've already worked 10 hours, work another 10. It's exhausting. And Simon Peter's, Master, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. You carpenter. The second part of verse 5, he says, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets. I think Simon is saying, yeah, I'll humor you. I'll show you don't know what you're talking about. I'll show you don't understand anything. Be cynical with me for a moment, right? Be cynical with me. I try not to be cynical, but yeah, I'm cynical. We often think as Christians that Jesus, you know, he's great for like saving my soul and forgiving me of my sins and for like inspiring beautiful church music and like doing churchy things and like all this spiritual stuff. But like the day-to-day practical stuff, like, yeah, like he doesn't, like really seriously, what does Jesus know about working at Pizza Hut? I mean, forget that. Like, what does he know about pizza? Jesus, like, he's not Italian. He wasn't from Chicago. He knows nothing, right? He doesn't know anything about machines. Electrician? I mean, come on. Like, those of you, you're like, some of you are being super spiritual with me, and you're like, oh, yeah, but he's the Son of God. He can do it. Oh, come on, be reasonable, right? Be reasonable. Be cynical with me just for a moment, right? You're out shoveling snow. How is Jesus going to help you shovel snow right now? I know some of you are super spiritual, like, hey, I'm doing it with him. Like, but come on, you're breaking your back. Your neck hurts. Everything hurts. You're shoveling, and you shovel some more. And it's like, come on, let's be practical for a minute. What in the world is Jesus doing with this? What does Jesus know about being a homemaker? He traveled everywhere. He never settled down. What does he know about teaching? Oh, he's the great teacher. Okay, yeah, but we never see him, like, his disciples. Like, I know he had this situation with the little kids, but he picked adult disciples, right? He didn't have, like, oh, I'm going to pick 12 disciples. You animals, come with me. Ah, right? Like, ah, what does he know about dealing with these little kids? Banter? But banker, that's what I wrote. What does Jesus know about bantering? He is very precise in all of the things he said. Banker. Yeah, what does Jesus know about money? Man, they were poor. And they walked everywhere. If he had money, they would have gotten donkeys or horses or something. Anything. What does he know about selling equipment? What does he know about the news? Man, there's more news in one day. There's more news in one 9 and 10 news broadcast. There's more information in one broadcast than they had in their entire lives. You realize that? We get more information in one day than they got in their entire lives. Come on, what does he know about all this? So, you know, Jesus tells you to do this. What does he know about high-pressure gas? What does he know about plumbing? He doesn't know anything about electricity. Come on, Jesus. All right, I'll humor you. You want to come along on the job with me? All right, I'll humor you, Simon says. But if you say so, I warned you. We're not going to catch anything. You're wasting my time and yours, mostly mine. But I'll do it. Verse 6, when they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So these guys are you know, all right, I'll do it. And then they signal the guys who are in the other boat that Jesus chose not to go on. Why didn't he choose that one instead? Why does it have to be me in here? So he signals them, well, come on. And they see what's happening. They get it. So they get the fish in both boats. It's starting to swamp the boats. They're trudging towards land. Like, oh, we can't make it with all these fish. Throw some of the fish over. We can't throw the fish overboard. It's incredible. Can you imagine what Simon was thinking at that point? Can you imagine what he was feeling at that point? Right? After After all of this, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you know what you're doing, well, we'll do it if you... And then all of a sudden, Jesus beats him at the fishing game. Jesus beats him at his own profession. Can you imagine? It would be like if you were a teacher of a second grade classroom, right? I don't think we have any second grade teachers here, right? Right? I'm picking it easy, you know, we're middle of the road. So picking a second grade classroom. It's an unruly classroom. The kids are crazy. They're biting each other. They're stabbing each other with pencils. It's so hard to educate them. In fact, a successful day for you is just when no one goes home bitten or stabbed. Well, the kids learned today. Well, they learned that they don't have to bite and stab. It's a great day. It's an unruly classroom. You're trying to teach, trying to educate in the chaos of all that. It's nuts. And then you have this teacher come in. And they say, hey, you know what? Can I just have an hour of your class? And I just try and teach them. Yeah. You can have these animals. Don't tell the parents I said up there. But you can have these animals all you want. Yeah, go ahead. And this person comes in and they teach. And somehow, in the course of 45 minutes, second graders, the kids are calm. There's no calling out. They're attentive. And they teach them long division in second grade. And they're not just spewing information out. Every single kid in that classroom, every single kid in that second grade classroom perfectly learns long division. Now, if you're the teacher, what are you thinking? I'm done. I quit. It's all over. You kidding me? You kidding me? I'm garbage. I'm a terrible teacher. I'm an awful teacher. I obviously don't know what I'm doing, right? Because I'm just trying to like get these kids, teach them how not to eat paste. And over here we got, you taught them long division in 45 minutes. You didn't even need the full hour. You kidding me? That's what happened with Peter right now, with Simon Peter. It's just, we were doing this all night and you just walk in, you throw the nets and more fish and we almost lost the boats because of that. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. We look at our jobs and we say, what will happen if we bring Jesus onto our job? And I know if you're cynical like me, and I know most of us are not cynical, we're too spiritual to say it out loud, but you're cynical like me. You're like, how can Jesus possibly be involved in my everyday life? He doesn't know anything about selling. He doesn't know anything about modern day, or he's good at saving my soul, but he's not good at all this other stuff. Or I just have a job, or I just have a career, or I just stay at home, or I just make a home. I just, and Jesus, like, he's not involved with this stuff. How can he possibly influence this job? How can he possibly help me in this work? It doesn't make any sense. And what Jesus essentially did was what happened with that teacher with the second grade class. And what happened with Simon? It's like Jesus comes over here and says, yeah, you think you're good at working at Pizza Hut? I can feed the entire world. Say, yeah, you think you're good at counseling people? You think you're good at bartending? Did you come to the wedding at Canaan? I turned water into wine. Try that one, Missy. Yeah, you think you can move snow? I created the heavens and the earth. I'm the one who stores up the snow in the storehouses. I'm the one who releases it. I control all things. Yeah, you think you bring power to people, electrician? You think you energize people? I energize them with the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole world moves and breathes and is sustained by me. You think you're a good student? I am the greatest student. I know all things and can teach all things. You think you made a great home? I am preparing a home for you in heaven. I go before you to prepare a place for you so that when you enter into my kingdom, you will be comfortable. Not only comfortable, but joyous. Yeah, you think you're a good teacher? I don't just teach information. I teach people how their hearts can be transformed. You know, we often say to people, well, people never change. We often tell our daughters, don't marry the guy because he's a jerk. And, well, he'll change. No, people never change, right? We say that. And generally, that's true. People never change. People never change, except unless the Lord Jesus Christ gets a hold of their heart and transforms them. And Jesus says, I will teach you. You think you're good at bantering? I'm just kidding. You think you're a good banker? You think you're a good banker? My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all things. Everything belongs to him. He is the ultimate pastor. He's the shepherd of our soul. You think you're good at taking care of finances and making sure everything moves together? John 1 says that he sustains all things. All things were created by him. You think you're able to get appliances to make people's lives more convenient, more hopeful, more helpful. No, he raises up the standard of our lives because he doesn't just make us comfortable. He makes us holy by the power of his own blood. Huh? You think you give news to the people? Jesus brought the best news to people that we are not under wrath. We are not under judgment. We don't have to pay the price of our own sins anymore. He brought good news, the best news anyone's ever heard, that we can all be forgiven of our sins. And that we can have eternal life. That's what he did with Simon. He showed Simon, yeah, you think you're good at this? You're not. Look at me. You didn't want to bring me on this little fishing expedition? I'll show you. I'll show you what I can do when you invite me along to your work, to your job. So how does Peter respond? I think he responds the same way if I was a second grade teacher and couldn't get control of my classroom, which, by the way, if I was a second grade teacher, I would not be able to control the classroom. I would be fired. and I'd probably be run out of the state, too. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me because I'm a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partner. I can't. I quit. I can't do this. There comes a point in every person's life, if you haven't reached it yet, you will, where you just look at everything you're doing and you say, whatever I'm doing is worthless. There's no point to anything. And if you're a Christian, comes a point where you will see Jesus in all of his holiness, all of his glory, all of his greatness, all of his ability, and you will just see him and you will look at yourself and say, I am worthless. I am garbage. What am I doing with my life? There is no meaning. There is no, compared to you, everything I do is pointless. Compared to you, I am nothing. That's where Simon saw it. Just go away from me. Life isn't even worth living. I am a sinful man. Just go. I can't bear to look at myself when you're around. But Jesus doesn't leave him there. Instead of saying, yes, you're right. Instead of saying, yes, you are garbage. No, what does Jesus do? He says in the second part of verse 10, don't be afraid. Jesus told Simon, from now on, you will be catching people. Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Simon Peter essentially repented. And then Jesus comes and says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I will give you meaning. I will give you purpose. Don't be afraid. He doesn't leave him down there, wallowing in self-pity. He picks him up, and he takes what Simon knows the most, fishing. He's good at it. He's skilled. He's successful. He takes what he knows, and he says, yes. And he doesn't say, and now you will never fish again, because you will go do spiritual things. Right? Which is, by the way, drives me nuts. I know, I've said it before. I said it last week. I'll say it this week. I'll say it every week I can. I'm so tired of people saying, well, I'm going to go quit my job and do ministry. Ministry. I'm going to go do ministry. I'm like, whoa. Every Christian is called to ministry, and ministry isn't like working at a church necessarily or working overseas. Ministry is everything you do and everywhere you are. It's everyone you come into contact with, is sharing Jesus with, is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed to. That's ministry. We're all in ministry. We're all called to ministry. And Jesus comes and he takes Peter's job and he flips it around. And he says, I'm going to give you purpose in your job. Your job had value before. Now I'm going to give it a deeper purpose. Now you will also be, as some translations say, a fisher of men. Now you are going to take everything you know as a fisherman, and I will use that, redeem it, so that you will go and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ with your particular skill set to those around you, to the world. You will now fish for people. You will now fish for people. So what will happen? if we bring Jesus into our jobs? What will happen if we invite Jesus into our jobs every day? What will happen is he will give our jobs an even deeper meaning. And again, it doesn't matter if you are retired or if you, say, volunteer your time or if you have a job that doesn't pay, give you a paycheck, or, well, I'm just a parent, right? No, that all, I'm just a mom, I'm just a dad. No, that's a job. That's part of the good work that God's calling you to do. That's part of the ministry he's calling you to do. And what happens is if we invite Jesus into our work every day, he gives our job not just value, which every job has for everyone, it gives it a deeper purpose. He says, what you do matters, not just in the here and now, but for eternity. What Peter did, what Simon Peter did, mattered. He fished. He fed not only his family, he fed his community. That's an important job that it has incredible value. What Jesus says is, I'm going to give you a role. I'm going to give your job deeper purpose, so that it spreads off into eternity. So it just doesn't affect today or tomorrow or this week. It will affect you and all you come into contact with for the rest of your life. And so Jesus is calling us to bring him into our work. I know oftentimes we compartmentalize our lives, don't we? I've got my home life over here, and I've got my family over here, well, a friend life over here, social life, right? And then I've got my work life, and then I got my church life. And we keep those things nice and separate in their own compartments, and never the two shall meet. Maybe they'll, you know, intermingle a little bit, but not too much. We tend to do that. I think that's human nature. I certainly think that's Western American thinking. But that's not what Jesus wants to do. He's not the Lord of our home life. He's not the Lord of our church life. He's not the Lord of our bank accounts. He's the Lord of our lives. He's the Lord of all. And he wants to be in every place we go. And every place we go is an opportunity for ministry. So I'd encourage you, start every morning, start every day. Jesus, help me to share you with people today. Jesus, help me to share you with the people I come into contact with, in word and in deed. And I'm not saying, and I don't think Jesus is giving it, we don't get this image from the Gospels, and I'm certainly not telling you your strategy should become you're like a mad, foaming at the mouth Christian, and everyone you go, and you're like, oh, you need Jesus, and you need Jesus, and you need Jesus. Like, that's a really poor strategy, right? I mean, if he tells you to do it, do it. But truthfully, I mean, the reality is Peter here, he's afraid. I'm so scared. I don't even know how to deal with you. And of course you should be scared. Bringing Jesus into my job. I'll be a weirdo bringing Jesus into my job. I'll be fired. I don't have the creativity to tell you how you can bring Jesus into your work. I don't. And my guess is most of you don't either. And that's why we need to every single day be saying, help me to share you Jesus with other people. But give me wisdom on how to do that, because I don't know how. I mean, you look at the list here. I mean, how are you going to do that if you're waiting tables, right? Like, you have to, like, how do you do it? The deed part is okay, but the word part, you know, where do you find those opportunities? Where do you find those opportunities with your coworkers? I mean, you look at teachers. Oh my goodness, that's got to be one of the hardest places to be a Christian. And I don't know. I have no clue how you'll apply that. I have no clue. But that's why it's good that you don't have to rely on your pastor. We rely on God, the Holy Spirit, and his direction and his leading and his guidance as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed with those around us. But it has to be something that we every day say, help me. Help me to find opportunities. Give me boldness when I need boldness. Give me silence when I need to shut my mouth. Show me the person to help. Help me to reach those who need to be reached. If you bring Jesus into your work, if you invite Jesus to come along with you on your job, he will give your job, your work, purpose, deep purpose. Every job has value. Every job has value. Jesus gives it purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this congregation, for a variety of jobs, variety of work. I pray, Lord, that you help us to submit ourselves to you like Simon Peter the mere thought of sharing the gospel at whether we're talking with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, those we serve, is horrifying and scary. I pray that in that fear that, Lord, you will reach down and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've called you to this place, in this job, in this work, for my glory and for your good. And you don't know how to share my gospel, but that's okay. I will show you as you rely on me. Help us, God. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides us. Help us to cry out to you in the silence of our hearts when we're in those awkward conversations and we know that we should speak, but we have no clue what to say. I pray for us, Lord, that you shift our eyes, you shift our focus to realize that everywhere we are is ministry and that we can't do it on our own and we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit so that we can share the gospel that this world desperately needs. Humble us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us the confidence that you go before us and you walk with us every step of the way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.